Too cold this morning. Come on, y'all are Houstonians. We're all Houstonians. We're like, man, if it gets below 45 degrees, we're like, is it really worth it? But hey, it is good to see you here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of today's worship service. And I appreciate your participation. We're going to learn some things from God's word, and hopefully, prayerfully, you will be challenged. I believe that you will. Hey, Elias. Elias just stepped out. I was trying to catch him before he left because I just wanted to say thank you to all of the part of the worship team that had facial hair today. I mean, like every one of our ladies was gone, but I had Elias up there. I had Naeen up there. I had Jesus up there. Can we hear for these guys for doing their part? Thank you guys so much. We appreciate it. And it was so funny because Eric goes, you know, I got to look at these men leading me in worship instead of these ladies that normally lead me, you know. So, hey, we appreciate it, and thank you for being a part of things. I do want to mention to you that Kim and Karen Kim Potts and Karen Baldwin's dad, those two sisters, you know Karen as a part of the worship team. You probably know Kim as well, but their father is not doing well. He's probably nearing the end of his life, and so I just would ask that you would encourage them, pray for them, pray that they would be blessed and at peace, whatever they're dealing with and whatever they're going through. Please lift them up. And of course, as well, yesterday we had our memorial service for the deans, and we want you to continue to lift up James and Amy, praying for them, wonderful parts of our church family. And I do want to mention this. I hope, maybe I did or maybe I didn't. I remembered to write it down because I'm terrible about this stuff, but I want to say thank you to all who helped yesterday and all who were here and supported them. I do want to mention Kim Potts again. She was here. Kim Addict, Nancy Garland, both Roseanne and Frank Smith, the Youngs, and I mean all of the Youngs. It was Scott and Alicia the entire time, but also Colin and Caden were a huge help. Eric and Chris Teague. Z, thank you so much for being here. Lola Prevost, I was here also. And then we had also Promise, who came and was a part of things. Thank you to all of you who were a part and came to be a support to our church family in that way. I know it was a blessing, and they went through a difficult time, but it is great to have you as a part of our church supporting them, and we want to say thanks. Okay, so let's go back to that pyramid on slide number 3, if you don't mind. Let's check this out. I don't know if you guys have looked at this as we've been talking about this passage of scripture from 2 Peter chapter 1, but this is so important and so powerfully laid out, I think, as we see it in this way, because this is what Peter was saying in his scripture, that he was writing to those Christians in the first century that were just understanding what Christianity was supposed to look like. And I think it's amazing that as long as we have had and known Christianity, it is still important for us to visually see some things that our Christian life ought to be doing. You know, it ought to be adding to. And he said that word over and over again, as Tiffany read. Add to your faith virtue, which is also interpreted in most other places as excellence. And we talked about that excellence should always be our goal as a Christian. And then he says, and then to add knowledge, our growth. That's what we're going to be talking about today. But then to add self-control. And then to that, add steadfastness, to godliness, to brotherly love, and then love itself, which is the crowning virtue. And so I just want to encourage you, this is very important, and I'm not going to say, I started to say, you don't have to hear anything else I say, you can hear this, because then some of you all would be like, cool, Facebook, all right, now, so here, just listen up. This is important because if your life is not adding to in your Christian life, you're not doing what God has called you to do. If you do not see growth, if you do not see a gradual movement towards God and beginning to become more and more godly in your ways, in your thinking and your actions both, then you're not living the life that God has called us to. I want to keep going, but let's begin with the title of the message. I've entitled this message, Growing More by Knowing More, and I want to share some things with you. Let's go to our next slide, if you don't mind. And there we are. Today, we're talking about adding knowledge, our growth, and what that looks like and how we do that. And I'm hopeful that I can put some very practical tools in your hands of how you do that. Let's go to our next slide, if you don't mind. So there are three parts to salvation, and I just realized if there's a little bit of weird spacing, it's because that computer does not have the text, the font that I have on my computer. Y'all, so if y'all can forgive me a little bit, that's what happened. I just realized that. But this is very, very important that we grasp and understand that there are three parts to salvation. There are three parts to salvation, and initially you're going to be like, whoa, 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 what? This sounds like heretical to me. Just follow along and let me explain this. And this is in this book of A Life Beyond Amazing by Dr. David Jeremiah. But let's talk about it. The immediate forgiveness of sin, the salvation of our souls, when we truly accept Christ as our Savior, immediately we are saved from the penalty of sin. That means that we have a home in heaven and that we are no longer needing to be fearful of God's wrath that is poured out on others who have not made him their Savior. So this is the first part of salvation, and this is so far God's part, because we can't do that for ourselves. So it's God's part, right? Then this second part, as we go to our next slide, is the lifelong gradual forsaking of sin and adding righteousness while we follow Christ here on earth. This is where we become saved from the power of sin. Now, you may be saying to me, well, Pastor Randy, I still got some sin in my life, and I'd say, amen, you do. And I would say to you, you are just like your pastor. We all have sin still left in our life. And you're like, well, sometimes it's bad and sometimes it's not so bad. This is true. And for all of us, as we grow towards people who are pushing sin out and inviting godliness in, we have moments where we're on the positive and then when we're on the decline. And so it's very important that we grasp and understand this comes and goes and ebbs and flows, but it should be a consistent growth pattern. It shouldn't be way up here and way down here and down and down and down. It should instead be at times we ebb and flow, but not this huge passing back and forth between godliness and just outright non-godliness. I'll just leave it there. Okay, so as we see this, this is saved from the power of sin. Now let's go to our third slide here. And as we do, it's the everlasting change that happens when we eventually make it all the way to heaven, where sin is defeated forever. And that's when we will be saved from the presence of sin. So literally, if you look at these three parts to salvation, we immediately are saved from the penalty of sin. We are gradually saved from the power of sin. And eventually we will fully be saved from even the presence of sin when we are in heaven. If you guys understand what I'm talking about and what Dr. David Jeremiah was sharing, can y'all give me a good amen? Okay, yeah, y'all are good. All right, very good. Y'all are awake on this holiday weekend. I appreciate it. Now, let me ask you a pop quiz. Sorry, I didn't tell you it was coming. Here's the pop quiz. Which one of those is not totally, fully, only God's responsibility? Some of it is our responsibility. It's not the first one. It's not the second one. It is saved from the power of sin. It is the power of sin that we allow in our lives. Because now let's be clear, it's not, we can't win over the power of sin without God's help. But he asks for our partnership in only number two. Do you guys see that? Y'all see that? So let's go to our next slide, if we would, please. And let's talk a little bit about what that means. This is our big idea, that growing more begins with knowing more. In other words, if you are a person who says, I really want to get close to God, the first place that I would be asking, and it sounds super duper simplistic, but it's just the truth. Like, if you want to lose weight, I'm going to ask you what you're eating and how much you're exercising, right? That's it. I'm sorry, you can figure out all these other things, but it's those two things. If you want to know that you're getting closer to God, how much are you reading your Bible and how much time are you spending in prayer with him? It's just those two things, right? It is super basic, but it is also some of the things that we as Christians who know what to do not actually follow through and do them. And this is true in a lot of parts of our lives where we know what to do, but we do not follow through with what we should do. So growing more begins with knowing more of the God who loves us, knowing more of the scriptures that he has said, this is the way to walk in your life. So would you guys say this with me on the count of three? This big idea on the count of three. Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Growing more begins with knowing more. That's right. It's just that simple. Okay, let's go to our next slide. as we do in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. But then read this part that's underlined out loud with me, okay? Would y'all read it with me? Ready? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. What did we say our big idea was? Growing more begins by knowing more, right? So by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And for us, we can be fooled sometimes very easily about what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect, what is truly God's will for your life. But here is what is amazing. Every time you know God's word, you know God's will for your life. So if you're like, well, I really want to know, you know, who I'm going to end up marrying. That's important to me. I want to know God's will. Well, here's where it begins. He's got to be, she's got to be a Christian. You know how I know? Because I know God's word. It, no matter what, that is God's word. That is God's will for your life. Now, I'm not trying to sit here and be mean to anybody or anything like that, but trust me, I tell people all the time, man, I love the Lord with all of my heart. I love my wife with all of my heart. She loves me quite a bit as well. Okay, so here's the truth. It is hard enough for us to stay married as people who are passionate about God and passionate about each other and our family. It's hard enough for us to stay married because it is very hard to stay married, period. Now, we just got through celebrating our 34th anniversary, and I know what you're thinking. That's amazing. That woman is a saint, and you are correct. Oh wait, what was that? I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate that encouragement. I have tons of theories about what would make a marriage work back in the day. Now I have 34 years of experience and I have even less. So that's just the facts of the matter. It is hard to stay married, but here is the truth. I know that she wants that to work, and I know I want that to work. And that is something that we have in common because that is something that God's word speaks about. And so as that happens, we cannot shift that away and say, well, I'll just marry whoever comes along. If they are not a Christian, the God's word already tells you, my will for you is not that, and you'll be dealing with the fallout from this point forward. So I share that as a perfect example because I know a lot of people care about who they'll be married to, and God has given you God's will in that. Let's go to our next slide. If you don't mind, here is our scripture to remember. And maybe you did read that email that I sent to you. I think there's some very important things here. And let me just share it with you. A scripture to remember is from Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. If you're a person who wants to memorize scripture and learn and get a little bit better, here is a perfect way to do it. Just memorize this one. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors. And do you notice I bolded that statement there? More than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That word, that phrase that's in italics and bold there, it says more than conquerors. Let me explain. That comes from one single Greek word, and I want to go to our next slide so you can get an idea. The Greek word is hypernikaio, and that is translated as more than conquerors. Now, everybody, does anybody know what is on the right-hand side of this slide? If you do, can I see your hands real quick? Anybody know what the right-hand side of that slide is? Okay, if you do not, this is something that was found from the ancient world. This is actually in the Louvre Museum in Paris, France. The name of this this statue here that's on this slide is Winged Victory, also known as Nike, the goddess of victory. Now, are y'all making the connection? Everybody know what's going on the left there? Those are your Air Jordans, the Nike Air Jordans. So how many of you knew that the name Nike shoes came from the Greek word victory? Did any of y'all know that? One or two? Okay, I literally have one person. Everybody else, you learned something today. Go home, go to bed. You've already taken care of today's task, right? So here's the deal. Why would they say Nike? Because everybody is obsessed and we want victory, right? But here's the question that I have for you. When he says you are overcomers that overcome, you are super overcomers, you are more than conquerors, this is what God wants for our lives and the power that he provides for our lives. But now I have a question that you're not going to like, and I did not like it when the Lord kind of put it in my head. Is anybody interested in putting your name on a pair of sneakers like that has to do with athletics? Probably not. Probably not on mine, because my life is sometimes up and sometimes down. But what is God saying? You are able to be more than conquerors. It's not God's power that fails. It is our persistence that fails. It is not God's power that fails. It is God. It is our own persistence that fails to follow the Lord and what we know. And so let me just share with you, that's not what the statue used to look like. She lost her head. She lost her arms. She lost a few things. The years were rough for her. I mean, y'all know, you know, the years can be harsh, right? But this is all that they could find. But they knew that it was a winged victory, the goddess Nike, and they saved the statue, and it's in the Louvre if you're interested. And those shoes on the left will cost you, I don't know, about $695. Okay, let's go to our next slide. So don't miss this. Christian victory begins with you winning small battles daily that decrease sin's foothold in your life. You begin to think differently, and that means your tools that you have at your disposal and the track that you're on has to change. So Christian victory begins by winning small daily battles. Now, if you guys will kind of focus in on me for just a quick second. For most of us, we don't think about these things that happen daily. We want some big, huge event. We want some big, huge change to come about, to grab us and shift everything in our lives. But maybe you read the book called Atomic Habits, where the author talks about constantly, if you will just get 1% better, and 1% better week by week and day by day, then things will dramatically change because it begins a multiplying factor in your life. And so spiritually, it is the same. You don't need to do everything different in dramatic fashion and all this, because most of the time, guess what happens? You begin it and you're like, I didn't work out for like 12 years of my life, and now I'm going to the gym 12 hours every week of my life, you know? And then guess what's going to happen by the third week? You're like, ah, I can't do it anymore, because that's not how you're designed to sustain that kind of stuff. Now, if that is you, let me know. I'm impressed, okay? But for most of us, we need to make small changes every single day where we invite God to be a part of things where he just was not. You guys with me? Y'all, can y'all give me an amen? Amen? Okay, so let's keep going here to our next slide. And this is how I get really, really to you and probably poke my finger in your chest a little bit. If you don't have the Bible app, man, get the Bible app. I would prefer, I'm just stripping it down to truth here. I would prefer to read the NIV every week, but guess why I don't? Because on my phone and on your phone, the best Bible app is in the ESV. So now we read the ESV every single week. So if you are looking in this Bible app, you will read that thing that is being read out loud. Not because it's my preference, but because this is my preference. I would rather you read the scriptures, have the scriptures read to you, than anything else that I would prefer. Oh, I just like the way that's worded better. I don't care about that nearly as much as I want you as a part of our church body to be reading the scriptures. And it will always be in your pocket, because let's be honest, none of us ever leave this thing behind, right? And it also can read it out loud to you. You can even set it and say, I want this to remind me that it's time to read the scriptures at a certain time. So if you're going home from work and you know you're always in your car by, I don't know, 5 after, maybe at 5:09, you can set this thing to go off and say, don't forget, you're on a streak. Make sure and read God's word again today. And you're like, hey, I'm driving home. I don't really want to listen to the radio. I may as well enjoy God's word. And you listen to it while you're already on the road. Let God's word fill you constantly. And it gets a lot easier if it's right here. You guys with me? And so I would tell you, you know what? man, I can't believe I'm going to do this. If you don't have the Bible app, if you don't have the Bible app, go get it right now. You don't have, you have to listen to me for the next few minutes, okay? But then come back, all right? But get the Bible app because it will change your life. And let me just share a couple of things with you. And this is where I get real personal and real pointed, okay? So let's go to our next slide. And let me just share with you, these are the places that we've been in our Bible studies. I've got about 16, oh, well, there's one of them, the fruit of the Spirit here. And this is the Zoom code. And you don't have to do... You don't even have to get out of your pajamas if you're in your pajamas by 7:15, okay? You can just come online. You can keep your camera off and just listen as we talk about the fruits of the Spirit for the next few weeks. And we go to our next slide. Let me share this with you. These are the places that we've already been. These are the verses, the topics and the passages that we've already studied, the books that we've already studied. And I guarantee you there's at least one thing in every single one of those 16 books that we studied that you didn't know about God and about God's word, that you never put those things together. But it wasn't that it wasn't accessible or there for you. It's that you just chose not to. And so ultimately, if you want to grow more, you have to what? Know more. And so I'm not here just trying to get us to say, well, I want a certain number of people on the Bible study. It's not that at all. But there are people in this church, there are people in this church today who show up week after week and learn something every single time from one another or from the scriptures. And every now and then for me, that we share together and learn. And so if we want to learn more, take advantage of the times that you have an opportunity to grow and know more. Let's keep going to our next slide. And here's this. Christian victory begins as you win those small battles. You begin to think differently and you begin to act differently. In the passage of scripture in Philippians, I believe that it is chapter 2, but it may be chapter 3. I'm just remembering it right now. But it says, it is God who works within you both to will and to work according to his good pleasure. In other words, God not only will give you the will to change, but he will give you the strength and the power to change and the direction on which to go. But you have to say, Lord, I'm listening, and Lord, I'm submitting. If you tell me, then I will do it. And he knows, and you know, when that is true and when that is just lip service. Let's go to our next slide. Okay, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, as you go on, and you can read this passage of scripture. But it does say that we are not to look into God's word and then just forget it, but we are to learn it, and then we are to put it into practice and do it. Let's go to our next slide. According to Nick Saban, there are two sides of discipline, and I share this all the time. And this is true for your spiritual life as well as other things. There's something that you should do, but you don't want to do it. Can you make yourself do it? And then there's something that you shouldn't do, but you want to do it. Can you keep yourself from doing that? Those are the two sides of discipline. Those are the two sides that change our lives. So let me ask you this. You know that you want to do the Bible reading, but do you do it? That's the question. You know that you shouldn't do these things. You shouldn't say certain things. You shouldn't act in certain ways. Can you keep yourself from going down that road? How does that happen? It happens by more and more of the flow of God's word and truth, and then a decision on your part to follow those passages that it says, do these things, prevent yourself from doing these things. I'm going to stop real quick, and I'm going to slow down just for a second, and I will say, for some of us in our lives, we already know there's some stuff that needs to go away, that it is absolute poison to us spiritually, but we have not yet made the decision to say, I'm done, and this time I'm following through. If that is you, today is a very, very, very good day to start that. Let's go to our next slide. Don't miss this again. You begin to think differently, you act differently, and then you begin to build momentum and multiply in your life. These things begin. And most people that you know that you wish that you had that financial life. You wish that you had that spiritual life. You wish that you had that relational life. It was not a huge event. It was small daily decision put after another good daily decision with another daily decision with another good daily decision over and over and over. And then you say, wow, how did they get there? They did not get there in one moment. They got there by building momentum and multiplying over a lifetime. It can happen for you, but it begins tomorrow and today with a good decision and choice. Now, if you guys are with me, I think y'all are hearing me, but it feels like it's a little quiet out there. Can I get an amen? All right. Okay, thank you guys so much. We're together here, and I'm just about getting to the very end. So let's go to our next slide. People change when they hurt enough that they have to change, when they learn enough that they want to change, or when they receive enough that they're actually able to change. Don't wait until you have to hurt to actually make the changes that God wants you to make. Let's go to our next slide. This is an amazing quote. I'm going to read through it, and then I'm going to ask you if you can kind of pinpoint who said it. Your nature is a hard thing to change. It takes time. I've heard of people who've had life-changing, miraculous turnarounds, people set free from addiction after a single prayer, relationships saved where both parties let go and let God. But it wasn't like that for me. For all that, I was lost and I am found. It is probably more accurate to say I was really lost and I'm a little less so now at the moment. Let's go on. And then a little less, and then a little less again. That to me is the spiritual life. Listen to this part. The slow reworking and rebooting the computer at regular intervals, reading the small print of the service manual. It has slowly rebuilt me in a better image. It has taken years, though, and it's not over yet. If you were guessing, you probably would say, that pastor knew what he was talking about when it came to changing life and being a person who was becoming what God would have him to be. But unfortunately, it's not a pastor. It's not a missionary. Guess who it is? It is, drum roll please. It is Bono from U2, if you can believe that. Do any of y'all know who U2 is, or am I the oldest guy in the room? I'm the oldest guy in the room, right? Okay, so some of y'all know who U2 is. That's Bono from U2 that was talking about his spiritual life. So if a rock star understands sanctification and developing in your spiritual life, then we sure can, right? We sure can. It's just a question of applying what we know. Let's go to our next slide, and I want to share this. Reading the small print of the service manual, I don't know what that says to you, but if I were guessing, I would say he's saying, I'm figuring out small parts of the Bible and then doing them, and then reading a little bit more, and then doing that, doing a little more, and a little more, and a little more, and also those things that are not good, I'm leaving them out a little more and kind of doing those things a little less. Let's go to our next slide. That is the growth that I was talking about, that thing that Eric mentioned. I'm just trying to start something that will help you to make sure that you don't lose the plot in a week. I mean, because many times we begin a week and we have intentions, but then we make changes and we don't follow through. But I want to share that with you. It probably will come to you on Tuesday morning so that maybe you can get started with your week, but then you can get refocused since Tuesday, making sure that God hasn't just kind of drifted from your thoughts and he's not a part of it. So I hope that many of you, and I'm going to do this a second time. If you want to subscribe right now, do that right now. You can check out for a minute too, okay? All right, so let's go to our next slide. I want to share this with you. Have any of you guys ever seen one of these things? This is called the Wordless Book. Some of you, a handful. Okay, well, when I was young, I memorized scripture that I still remember almost every one of those, word for word, when I was a kid. The idea and the concept of a wordless book is to start over here on the black, go to the red, to the white, to the gold, to the green. And here's what those things mean. The black is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the black heart of sin that needs a Savior. The red is, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then he goes to the white that talks about, if you will confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then it talks about how we will walk on the streets of gold. And since I was 8 years old, I've forgotten that one. Y'all forgive me, okay? Pray for me, though. All right, and then the third one there is that green. So it's the black heart washed by Christ's blood, washed clean, and now we have an eternal destiny. But then that final green, guess what that stands for? And I remember this one. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from 2 Peter 3:18. In other words, he has not pulled us out of this world and into heaven yet, so we still should be growing in our Christ-likeness. And if you are not, growing begins by knowing. And if you do not know the Lord, if you do not know how to live for the Lord, you get on your Bible, you start listening, you start learning from other Christians who can point you in the right direction. You put off those things that you know are pulling you away from God, and you incorporate those things that pull you towards God. This is how lives get changed day by day, and it becomes a dramatic difference in your life. Let's check out this video. I think you'll like it.
What's my word? That's a thing people do, right? Ask God for a word for the year ahead.
It gives you a goal, a plan for your heart, a way to walk when the world crumbles around you.
Lord, this year I need a word to help me focus on the right things, the eternal things.
This is my year of waking up to what matters.
What has always mattered.
I need a word as I walk out of the ashes and into the sunlight.
A word of hope.
That one word that I'll feel deep in my heart.
I pray, Lord, you would give me a word.
Your word.
The living and active word.
The one that is sharper than any two-edged sword.
The word that lights my path.
My teacher.
My truth.
My shield.
Because of your word, God.
My word has promise and meaning.
The grass withers.
The flower fades.
But the word of God stands forever.
Forever.
Thank you, God.
That your word can be my word.
All year long.
Amen. Amen.
So, Heavenly Father, I pray that we would know you more than we have known you in the past. And God, that we would draw close to you by learning from your scriptures who you say you are, who you say we are, and how we ought to be living our lives. I pray that as we draw close to you, that you would just begin to bless us with the washing and the cleansing of your word, as well as just simply washing away some of the junk in our lives that just doesn't need to have a place. And I pray that as we humbly seek your face, that you would begin that work of transformation, that the power of sin that has the power to destroy our lives if we let it hang around would get pushed away and pushed out. And instead, we would more and more find ourselves on the path of life and on your path. And dear God, help each and every one of us to make the commitment to seek your face. And you have said that if we will seek you, we will find you when we seek you with all of our hearts. Bless us, I pray, with this promise in Jesus' name. And so just for a moment, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, very quickly, I'm not going to call your name. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but I do wonder if the Lord is speaking to you and he's reminding you that, you know, when it really comes down to it, you are not necessarily getting the word of God into your life in the way that you should and could. If this is where you are, would you just simply lift your hand? And thank you for that. Is there anyone? May God bless you. I thank you for that. Anyone else? Thank you so much. Anyone else? May God bless you. Thank you so much. And now, one more question for you. Here's the question. Are you applying the word of God? Are you living according to the principles of who God says he is? And are you living the way that you know God would have you to live? Is that where you are? You know it, but you're not living it, not in the same way that you should be. Is there one who would just simply lift your hand as a way of saying, this is how it was, but I want to make a new commitment and I want to go in a new direction? May God bless you. Somebody else, may God bless you as well. Thank you so much. Thank you. May God bless you. And Heavenly Father, every hand that you have seen, you know each and every heart. And I just pray that your blessings would be poured out upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody together said, amen. Thank you so much for your time and for your attention. I appreciate the opportunity to teach God's word. Please keep coming. We've got a little bit more of Overcomers. We've got all of the different pyramid that we need to be adding to in our lives. So please keep coming and becoming a part of the things. And let me just share with you, if you were not here last Sunday, I want to give you a very, very, very condensed version of the things that we had done for our white envelope and our Mexico drive. So let me just put that up real quickly. This is our final total, over $12,000, almost $13,000 given to the Gethsemane Orphanage. Can we hear it for that? Isn't that great? We praise the Lord for that. Fantastic. If you want to go back and see some of the way that we broke this down and just the different gifts that were given and what that all looks like, you can do that from last week. And if you did not see the video, you can stay and hang out, and we're going to show that video in just a moment. But these things cannot go out online because we want to make sure and protect and be careful for the kids. For some of them, it would be dangerous for us to put out where they are and where they live. And so for some of the wives as well as the kids, we want to just show that to you after we are done. But for now, we thank you. And guys, thanks so much for being here. We're going to end the way that we always do. And you guys say it right along with me. We have just heard God's word. Now let's go live it. God bless you guys. You're dismissed. Thank you so much.